Hello, this is Brandon Lee Lewis, and this is the Evergreen Tree Podcast. The last episode, Do Better, Get Better, after I sat down and thought about it, considering how things are going, in order to carry the things that were talked about, in order to check ourselves to preserve our republic, requires some pretty large feats. There's a reason for that. Right now, the whole world is stuck into a trap. It's stuck in a trap. It's a trap of modern slavery. And it's very insidious. In some cases, it could be a situation where a person is within a golden cage. We have all of the amenities. We have nice furniture, a nice car, a nice house. Can travel. But yet, the cage still exists. And the way you find out that you have a cage around you is when you try to have the same type of lifestyle after you break away from the mechanisms that allowed you to have that lifestyle in the first place. Now, in terms of America, America was meant to be a free country. And what comes with that freedom is obviously, the ability to make a living. To be able to make a living however you see fit, in whatever way or whatever method that you want to use, as long as you're not stealing from someone, as long as you're not hurting someone, or, God forbid, killing someone. But this country was meant to be a free country in that regard. True capitalism. Unfortunately, nowadays, true capitalism does not exist in this country. I don't think it even exists anywhere in this world, for that matter. And that leads us back to what I was saying before. Even though we think that capitalism exists because people are living so-called easy lives, it doesn't exist. Again, to prove it, you break outside of that mechanism or that system that has allowed for these easy lives to happen, you find out right away that there is a trap. A trap that is designed to extract the energy of humans or human resources. A system or a mechanism that was designed to keep you in it from cradle to grave. That's right. From cradle to grave. It is a system or a box, if you will, that is composed of four parts. School, banks, corporations, and government. Those are the four corners of the box. Schools, banks, corporations, governments. And they all work together to keep you into a situation or to keep you in a situation where you are used as a battery. You are the reason why this modern system works. And it's not because, or it has nothing to do with your choosing. No, it does not. Because if you do not choose to be a part of this system, you will be considered an enemy and it will do whatever it takes to take you apart because it will see you as competition. You see, we cannot Well, not we. It cannot allow any outsiders to gain any notoriety, because that means that other people will see that, and less people will take their human resources, otherwise their own body, outside of this system and start to exercise true capitalism. Have you ever wondered why it is? And this is easy to see. You can just go out in your city, even in your town, and you see this very common sentiment. You have to wonder why is this sentiment very common, which is, in order to make a living, you have to put on a corporate persona. Now, I use that word in the way in which the ancient Romans used it, which is a mask. And how it worked in plays in ancient Rome was that when you wanted to portray a certain character, you had to put a mask on. And once you put this mask on, then people cease to see you as you, listener, but they see you as what that mask represents. So in terms of making a living, for the most part, most people make their living by donning corporate masks, corporate personas. So when you go out and talk to people, they don't see you as your name. They see you as Starbucks, Amazon, Target, Chase, Manhattan Bank, Bank of America, Charles Schwab, Goldman Sachs, Oklahoma University. Insert whatever corporation name there, but I guarantee they will not see you as your name. Yes, they may use your name, but you're not representing yourself. So most people feel that in order to make a living, they can't represent themselves. And we've been tricked into thinking that our power in the economic realm is not strong enough for us to support ourselves. Now, there are ways that this modern slavery box has fixed this situation to where it is harder for individuals to exercise their economic power in terms of making a living. There are ways that it has done that. Now, I may have lost my train of thought, but while I was losing that train of thought, another thought came to my mind, and I found this very interesting. Don't you find it funny that whenever a government official or a politician talks about your power as an individual in the economy, or even a bank, or just even other people, but whenever they talk about your individual power in an economy, they talk about your ability to buy, but they never or rarely ever talk about your ability to sell. You see, you can't make a living by buying, but you can make a living by selling either products, or goods, or services. And it is that end that's the problem. It is that end where individuals are cut off from or have been made to think that they have no power in. And so as a consequence, most people in this country or in the world for that matter lack the skills or the confidence to sell anything. Now, granted, most people have not had the opportunity to make a product that they believe in that will serve mankind. So it makes it very hard for them to learn how to sell. It's very hard to sell something for most people. It is very hard for most people to sell something that they do not believe in. Now, granted, getting back to the corporations, they teach people how to sell products that they do not believe in, because they know that they don't. And they know that if a person gets close enough into their corporation, they will see there are some nefas or terrible things happening within that company. Therefore, it makes it less easier for that person to sell the products of that company because they know what's going on behind the scenes. But the company trains these individuals to be good sellers, to overlook these shortcomings within the company that could be detrimental and could actually be killing people. Look over these things and sell the product. But in these cases, you're not working for you. They're not working for themselves. They have to put on a corporate persona in order to do that. You know, corporations, they use one thing called lobbying. Now we're getting into the situation, into how the different corners of this box communicates with each other to keep you as the energy source so that it can live. These corporations, where they lend out their corporate mask for people to operate within the economic environment in order to make a living, these same corporations go to government and they lobby and they try to get governments to pass laws to make it easier for them to conduct their business and also to use officials in a way to where it was sanctioned, or let me put it in a better way. They will lobby the government so that what they do, even if it is wrong, will be acceptable. And they will have easier access to the market, while on the other hand, make their opponents have a harder time gaining access to the market. Now, when I say opponents, I do not mean other corporations. No. I mean individuals such as we are having access to that market. There are some industries there that you need a license in order to get it. And that license costs a lot of money. And in some instances, you need multiple licenses. And those licenses cost a lot of money. You see, one way they bar people out of the economic market is that you need money to participate in that particular economic market. Now, if we had true capitalism, you wouldn't need any licenses, wouldn't you? No, we would not. That's why I say we don't have true capitalism. True capitalism makes it open for competition to flourish. And as a consequence of that competition, those who has the best services, those who has the best products, and also those who are most accessible will thrive. So it doesn't always go to the best company if a person lives in Tennessee and the company is all the way in Oregon. It may be a situation, yes, that company in Oregon is a great company, but the person in Tennessee has no access to it. So the person in Tennessee has to find a company in Tennessee or somewhere close to that. To him, he has to find a company that provides those same type of services. So you see, it adds more It adds more players into the game here. But unfortunately, through lobbying, situations where small businesses or local businesses are at a disadvantage. Because these larger businesses, these larger corporations, with their tremendous weight, can lean on the government and therefore make it harder for these local businesses to operate. One of the ways is via licenses and other ways via regulations. And see, they pass these things off in front of us to make it look like that they're doing it for our safety, but it's not. The FDA is not a regulatory organization which makes sure that the products that comes out of drugs and agriculture is good for our health. And we know that. All we have to do is just look and see that there's products out there like glyphosate that's there, and they spread on the food. And anyone who does a little bit of digging can realize that that stuff is not, it is not good for anyone. I wouldn't even wish my worst enemy to be sprayed with that stuff or to eat stuff that is sprayed with that stuff. In case you're wondering what glyphosate is, it's a herbicide or Roundup. But you see, these things were utilized by the government or utilized by these corporations. And they use these governmental regulatory bodies to restrict access to the market for folks like you and me. Yet they say it's for your safety. Now, another way that this is done, and this is where this is where we're sliding into banks. We're still in the realms of government because the government has allowed this to happen because they forego their responsibility, which is to coin money. Emphasis on coin money. I think I said this in the last podcast episode. Coin money, not print, not issue debt. As a matter of fact, printing money is, it's sort of the way it happens, but that's not the full picture. Really what it is that they create debt, and that debt, they print it out in the form of notes, and those notes, which is a certificate of debt, is used as currency. But Congress has foregold, but because Congress has foregold coining money, which means stamping out silver in certain denominations of weight, since Congress is not doing that anymore, which it is its power to do, and it is the only power that can do that. Since Congress is not doing that, we have this fake money, which is not really money, but we're using debt as currency in order to utilize the economic system. Now, I can see that you're asking me, well, what's so big about that? What that has to do about me being a slave? Well, this is how. You see, silver and gold cannot be created. Not by man, at least. It is created by God. It is God's money. And so God controls the quantity of it. And to a certain degree, by creating artificial scarcity, governments can do so, but they are always held in check by the fact that they cannot create gold and silver. So there is a potential for governments and banks to be found as liars. That doesn't necessarily exist in that type of degree when you're dealing with cash or certificates of debt, notes. Because you can issue more debt indefinitely. And because the government and these banks, in cooperation with the government, Federal Reserve System in cooperation with the government, because the government goes into debt, and then the bank, the Federal Reserve monetizes this debt, because they can do this over and over and over and over and over and over again, they can use the quantity of cash and control the quantity of cash. And all of the instruments that goes along with it, we're not going to go too deep into it because this episode is not solely about this. But because of that whole mechanism, it can be used to keep you in a state of subjugation. To keep you dependent upon a particular system. Then if you throw taxes into it, it makes it pretty much near ironclad. You see, instead of your energy going into, instead of your energy when you work, instead of your energy being transferred into something that God has made, an actual resource, but it's transferred into something that is not a resource. It can't be used for anything else. It's just a note. It's just a certificate of debt. Because your precious work and your energy and your time went into that. Something that is totally within their control. Unless we stop using it, of course. But yeah, then it still would be in their control. But anyway, because your energy is being transferred into something that is completely within their control, which is the note money system, they can control your energy. They can control your motivations. They can control even what you buy and even what you sell, or if you can sell or buy for that matter. Well, indirectly, I'm not saying it's stopping you from selling anything. That's not what I'm saying. You having your own business, it is still possible. It's just harder. But what I'm saying is that these things encourages people to not stake out on their own into the economic wilderness. It encourages people to stay safe, to work for a corporation, and to be a slave to a paycheck. They have no other incentive to do that. Why? Because their energy and their work is not rewarded with something that is a tangible resource like silver and gold. And then on top of that, through taxes, direct taxes like an income tax, I'm starting to wonder, a property tax on your primary residence or from your business as a person, because of these taxes, not only is your energy being transferred into something that is not worth anything, that's not even the resources, but on top of that, the government extracts from that representation of your energy and time. Now you see, it is unconstitutional for the government of the United States to impose a direct tax. But it's easy for them to get around that because, why? We're not actually using money right now. We use currency and certificates of debt. They can tax that all they want. And then when you add the fact that the dollar is the reserve currency of the world, and the whole world is using it, the United States government is in a pretty nice position, isn't it? And the banks that that associate with it. And through that mechanism, it has enslaved not just the American populace, but it's also enslaved other people of other countries. Not directly, but indirectly. Through the use of mislabeling, if you will, of human time, energy, and dedication. And so, see, we wonder why some people of the younger generations, they don't want to work. They're starting to instinctively feel this. They know something is not right. They may not be able to articulate it, but they know something is wrong. They've seen generations come before them, work themselves to death with nothing to show for it, and then they die and they're forgotten, thrown away like an old racehorse. At least you remember the racehorse's name. But they've seen that time and time again. I can understand why they don't want to participate. However, though, I encourage you to stake out on your own into the economic wilderness. There is a way to combat this thing, and that is one way to do this, which is make a living without corporate personas. Now, some of you are saying, well, we do need government to uphold peace and to be a representation for the people when the states convene with each other in Congress, and also when the United States have dealings in foreign policy, and you're right about that. And then you would say, well, how are we going to fund this thing? We do need some taxes, right? Absolutely. That's why we have indirect taxes, such as capital gains tax or selling of investment properties. Now, I wonder, I'm on the fence about this. I wonder if cash flow from investment properties would be considered an indirect tax if you tax that. I wonder about that. Such as if you have an Airbnb and you get cash flow from that, is that taxable? That I don't know. I'm leaning on the side that it is an indirect tax at the moment, because it is not your sweat labor. However, though, there is a risk involved. But capital gains tax is dealing with things that have risks involved. I'm still on the fence about this. I don't know about cash flow from investment properties, whether that should be taxed or not. I really do not know. The more I research about this thing, maybe I will come to a conclusion about that. But through indirect taxes, we can fund the government to do its job. And then you say, well, that's not enough money. The government needs more money than that. And I would say, well, not really. The government really does not need to be that big. Doesn't need to be that big. If it does the job that it was constitutionally made for, the government's not supposed to be that big. And it will not be that big. Therefore, it will not need a direct tax. Indirect taxes will be enough. But as you see, taxes are not designed to fund the government. Because you got to remember, you're not taxed with actual money. You're taxed with notes. And the reason why taxes exist is to keep the federal debt in check. And you say, wait, what does that has to do? But taxes, when you pay your taxes, that money goes to discharge the federal debt. And when the federal debt is discharged, cash disappears. Well, why does cash disappear? Because cash is debt. It is debt of the federal government that has been monetized by the Federal Reserve System. So when you give your cash that you made, or when you give the cash that you made that is represented by your energy and your work, when you hand that over to the government uses that cash and gives it to the Federal Reserve to discharge its debt. And that's how debt is kept in control. And that's what taxes are used for. Taxes are not used to fund projects. They can just go to the Federal Reserve and go into more debt and get the cash for those things. They don't need taxes. I mean, they don't need taxes for that. They don't need taxes for federal projects. They don't need taxes to fund the government. The taxes only exist to keep the debt from going out of control, therefore making an alarm or making it look odious to you, or making it look dark to you, and therefore you will sound the alarm that something is wrong, and then you will stop using cash. And God forbid, you might actually start using silver. See, this is why you pay taxes, actually. To keep a dire situation from looking like what it actually is. It's like giving the government an ability to spray perfume on a dead rodent so that you won't know there's a dead rodent in the room. It's like putting salt on spoiled broccoli, and then they put spoiled chicken broth and some water on it. Tell you it's lunch. And they put all these seasonings in there to make you think that it's good and it's not spoiled. But it's spoiled. So we pay income taxes so that the government can keep its debt in check. So that if that debt gets out of check, it'll let the populace know, or it'll signal to the populace that something is really wrong. And then the populace will stop using cash, which it can do at any time. It will stop using cash and start using constitutional money, which is the true dollar, which is a specific weight of silver. And if you do that, if we do that, it will break this modern slavery box. Oh, but to keep you inside of that box, you cannot be shown this. As a matter of fact, you have to be preconditioned to think that being inside of this box is safe for you. And I mentioned property taxes before. And in some states, roughly 10 states, according to Education Week, in roughly 10 states, local sales tax and local income taxes make up more than 5% of all local revenue for K-12 schools. So you got property taxes, sales taxes, and income taxes in some states included. They're paying for that mechanism that will keep you in a situation where you are dependent on this system, to where you only feel safe if you are in this system. What is that entity that is designed to keep you feeling that way, to make you afraid of stepping outside of the modern slavery box. That's where schools come from. Schools are schools are used to condition people to be human resources or workers and not productive people who don't need a system to make a living. They also condition you to buy mostly from this modern slavery system. Most of us, when we go to buy something, if it doesn't have a large corporation name on it, or if it's not sanctioned by a government body, we don't want to buy it. We don't want to support it. And see, this is what makes it so hard for local businesses to thrive. Because people are afraid to support them by conditioning. And then you say, well, how is this a slave system? Well, let's condense the scope in what we're looking at and use an example that really exemplifies this. And this was a situation in West Virginia with the mining companies. What the coal mining companies would do, you will go into West Virginia, or these companies will go into West Virginia. You know good and well they're not going to go into the mountains themselves and dig that coal out. It is hard work. It could mess your lungs up. Don't want to do it. So they hire the local people that are there, or people who move into Virginia, West Virginia. And they say, we're going to pay you to dig coal out for us. You can't keep any of the coal. But if you dig that coal out for us, we're going to pay you for it. Now, granted, I didn't say what they're going to pay them with. But in some cases, this is what some corporations did, mining corporations did. They made up their own form of currency. And they paid them that form of currency. And they had their house that was made by the company. They didn't own the house. But as long as they worked for that company, they could stay in the house, them and their families. Now, there's a trick to that, because they knew that the average lifespan of a miner was not that long. So there was a nice revolving door. Now, again, that money or that cash or the currency was the currency that the company itself made. And that was the only thing that these miners were being paid in. And so as a consequence, they couldn't go outside of the mining village to spend their hard-earned currency, because it ain't money. If it was money, it was silver. But it's not. It's even worse than Federal Reserve notes. It is corporate specie. It was corporate script. That's right. That's what I'm looking for. It was corporate script. So they couldn't take their script outside of the mining town or the mining corporate town and spend it. They couldn't go to Richmond, Virginia and spend their money. They couldn't go to Myrtle Beach and spend the money, corporate script there. You go there and spend that cash there, they'll look at you, well, what is this? I don't even know what this is. So as a consequence, you're trapped in that. Those miners were trapped in that community, in that mining village that was ran top down by the mining company. And they could only buy the things that they needed from the mining company store. If they needed their flour, their food, their rice, their clothes, their tools for digging. Yes, you would think that the corporation would supply the tools for digging, but they didn't. They had to get their own pickaxes and shovels for the most part in some of these companies. So they're using the script. They couldn't go outside of the mining town. They had to buy everything there. And so since they couldn't go anywhere, they could do this to the miners. Say they were getting paid four parcels of scrip per hour. And the company wants to save cash on their, they want to save on the payment to their workers, but they don't want to make it seem like they're lowering their wages. So this is one way how this could be done. So say they're getting paid four scrips an hour, and they need to buy some rice. Beforehand, at the company store, a bag of rice will cost you one script. Now, the company, wanting to save on the cost of running the operation, can charge two scripts per rice. While in the meantime, the actual price of rice has not moved at all. And so that causes the workers to buy less rice. And if they buy less rice, it is less rice that the company has to bring in. So what if the miners get more hungry? They're going to die. They bring in the next one anyway. And here's another thing. If the miner dies, the wife and the children of that miner who died will be thrown out of the house. The wife would either have to remarry a miner or leave. In most cases, they will get kicked out, and their stuff will be kicked out towards the end of the town, and that's it. They will say good luck to you and leave you there. So you see, that is a smaller in a micro scale of what's going on in a macro scale in the overall world. This is what happens when you don't use constitutional God money and you use fake cash. This is the situation that happens. And school is being used to condition people to be okay with this. As a matter of fact, if they don't have this system, school has conditioned them to be uneasy in the absence of this system. And see, again, this makes it harder for smaller businesses to thrive because this causes a dependency on this system, and this dependency for people to buy from this from the same system that enslaves them, this dependency makes it harder for independent shops or individuals who are going out into the economic wilderness. It makes it harder for them to sell, to make a living. Unless enough of us understands enough of how this works and see the trap and be encouraged to support smaller businesses while at the same time start something of their own. You see, it's pretty simple to break this, but it's also pretty hard to break it because of conditioning. There is no stronger cell than conditioning the mind. And that's what makes school so dangerous. Because it forms an invisible cell around people's minds. A cell that they cannot see. And because they cannot see it, it is extremely difficult for them to break out. But however, even though they can't see it, they can emotionally feel it. And that also makes it extremely hard for them to break out. So this is the modern slavery trap. This is the system. This is it in a nutshell. There's a lot of details to cover, but I just wanted to give you a synopsis of how this thing works and how the different parts of the box communicate with each other to keep you as the battery to keep it working. If it did not have your body, if it did not have your mind, this thing would not work. If it did not have your compliance, it would not work. You see why school is compulsory. You see why taxes are compulsory. You see why they make it feel that you gotta work, you have to work for a company. You see why banks have to shroud. You see why banks have to cover their actions. They have to cover it with a fog, an impenetrable fog for most people. And I say it for most people in this terms that most people don't have the energy because they're too busy working for their corporation to find out what the banks are doing. You can find this out, though. You just got to know where to look. And even if you go on the Federal Reserve, you can learn quite a bit if you go to the Federal Reserve website and read the documents and, you know, the things, the resources that they have there. They let you know what they're doing. They just know that most of us don't have the time and the energy and the will to read it. And there's a reason why they put it in the most driest language possible so that you can glaze over and not bother to read the stuff because it's too boring. But you can read it. We have to have an understanding of how this stuff works in order to get out of it. And then, maybe, then we can demand that Congress would do its duty, which is to coin money and get rid of these debt certificates, D-E-B-T, debt certificates that are used as currency. And therefore, since your energy is not being represented in these so-called pieces of paper or ledgers in a bank account, since your energy and time and know-how is not represented by these things, but is actually represented by God's money, which is silver, which is a resource, then you won't be subject to an income tax. You will not be. You will be able to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Because you enjoy the fruits of your labor, you can therefore support other people who are trying to break free from this thing by setting up their own businesses. And this will set up a situation where you have a growth, true growth within communities. And America will become, will be in a better state, a way better state than what it is now. And true capitalism will actually happen in some place in this world, which will be here if we do it. If we can break free from this mechanism. This is the Evergreen Tree. I'm your host, Brandon Lee Lewis. Now, before I go, I left out one thing. Debt. Not just debt of the government, but your debt, your personal debt. Banks use this to enslave you as well. See, everybody gets a piece out of you. Not just the government through taxes. Not just the school through your tuition and by sucking out your spirit. Not just corporations by sucking out your time and energy. But banks also make a chunk off of you by debt. See, because the money is fake, prices can become arbitrary. And since prices can become arbitrary, they can get so high. They can get so high to where you cannot afford it. And so you have to go into debt to, in order to pay for it. You want to buy that house? You got to go into debt. You want to buy that car? You have to go into debt. And the person who is in debt is slave to the entity that they are in debt to. And since in most cases people go to the bank to get a loan, guess what? You are enslaved to the bank. So just like that mining company, you can't get up because you are enslaved. You are enslaved in a fake system that has real consequences because most of us in America choose to operate by this system because we have been conditioned to operate in this system. We have been conditioned to be afraid once we get outside of this system. So that causes you to work for a corporation. And that corporation is it takes your time and your energy. And then they pay you in cash. And that very cash, once you get it, is taken out of your check because the government wants this chunk too through income taxes. And see, they pass you around as if you are a joint. The corporations take a puff, and they pass you to the government. They take a puff. Then they pass you to the bank. Then they take a puff. And they pass you and your children to the school, and they take a puff, and the cycle continues. And in some cases, you are just like, or on another hand, not in some cases, but at the same time, you're also like a piece of raw meat in the middle of four wild animals. And you're just thrown right in the middle of it. And once you hit the ground, or even before you hit the ground, they start ripping you apart through your own personal debt, through fake money, which is called currency. United States notes, through human resource operations in the corporations that you work for, and also through the conditioning that you receive in your school. Secondary school and college. And you would say, well, I'm not conditioned anymore. I'm out of school. Oh, no, you're still in school. You watch TikTok. You watch YouTube. You watch the news. You watch television. You go and watch movies. You are still in school. You're being conditioned by propaganda. Now, granted, unlike in school, you can choose what to watch. And you can find things that are healthy for you to watch in order to learn what you need to learn to break out of this. But due to your past conditioning, you don't know where to look. And if someone is telling you the truth, you will not accept it because it feels funny. It doesn't feel right to you. Just like the gentleman in Clockwork Orange, he was conditioned to see certain things that, to the point to where the things that he used to like to do, he didn't want to do it anymore because every time he thought about it, he felt sick. Well, this is sort of the same thing. If you get outside of the system, the mechanism, and you try to stake out on your own in the economic wilderness, you start to feel sick. Now, granted, it is scary, but it's a different kind of sickness that handcuffs individuals into actually staking out on their own and actually being a productive member of human society instead of being a productive human resource of a corporation. And this is further fueled again by debt. A Person gets into debt. They don't even need to get to the point to where they buy a house and a car. They can go into student loan debt. Before they even leave school, they're already in debt. And they feel like they have to get that high-paying corporate job in order to not just not pay off the debt, because the debt is so high. They don't even think about that. They just want to keep, they just want to keep track of the monthly payments. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's not slavery, I don't know what it is then. That sounds like slavery to me. That is a sharp hook as much as anything else. I'm actually glad that I saved this point for last. But I'm thankful that I didn't leave it out because it's very important. So again, this is the Evergreen Tree, and I'm your host, Brandon Lee Lewis. We can break out of this, ladies and gentlemen. We can break out of this. We just have to be willing to do it. And enough of us have to do it. Because if not enough of us do it, then those who do stake out will be sacrificed. And it'll be for naught. Now a few people can do this, and it'll be a trickle effect, and it can grow. That is true, that can happen. But still, there needs to be support. We need to support ourselves and not support ourselves through another entity such as the corporation or bank or college institution or institution of education. We have to do this for ourselves. And that requires for us to get our own boots on the ground and start talking with one another. The fact that we are not talking to one another is playing into the hands of this system. I keep saying I'm signing off, but more things are coming to mind. But there's a reason why people are lonely. And you see these news reports, you go onto YouTube and you see these officials saying, well, Americans are very lonely. You think they feel bad about that? No, they don't. It is better for them, or better for the system, that you are isolated, because you are more easier to control. And therefore, since you are isolated, you will not participate in commerce with one another. No communication, no commerce. It's perfect for them. It's perfect for a human resource. You just do your little job, you go home, don't talk to anyone else. They have all of your energy to themselves. And instead of buying resources from your fellow man and supporting them, therefore upping the economic potential of the community, and therefore through the use of real money, your purchasing power also goes up and the cost of goods go down. Because of that, you can break free of all of this. But because if we're not doing that and keep perpetuating this thing, and not talking to one another, and not acting in commerce, and not buying goods from one another, and only depending on large corporations for the things that we need, not by themselves, but through banks and the interest rates and fiat currency, can arbitrarily set the price of goods. Now, you don't want to think of the price as the price itself, but you want to think about price as the amount of energy it takes for you to get that good. That amount can be arbitrarily set. And because that can be arbitrarily set, the minute they see the populace beginning to break out, they can reset the amount of energy it takes to acquire those goods and further perpetuate your slavery. You will go further into debt. And most people nowadays, they have debt that they know they won't be able to pay off for the rest of their life. Maybe their children won't even be able to pay it off. That's slavery right there. Okay, let me end this podcast. I promise I'll stop right now. This is the Evergreen Tree. I'm your host, Brandon Lee Lewis.